Good morning.
Morning
again. We're in that lazy, hazy summer that comes before an election. And it's already pretty deep and pretty thick, quite frankly. So one of the things that I want to do this week, maybe next, we'll just kind of see how it goes. We haven't decided exactly how next Sunday will roll yet. But I want to talk a little bit about the relationship between God and government, just to revisit that for a bit. Sometimes impassioned folks get sucked into, I think, patterns and thoughts and ideas that just don't honor God. And so I kind of want to sort through some of this. And so, what I want to remind us of this morning, to begin with, is a few basic things. Our ultimate allegiance is to God. Government is probably a distant third, at best. One of the lessons that, in fact, the nation of Israel in the Old Testament had to learn was that, and something they'd never seemed to learn, was that an earthly king was not going to solve their problems. In fact, it caused them more problems than it solved. And that no earthly king could make them a great people. Now, hear me on this. This nation has been, I believe, blessed because it has had probably the most dramatically radical form of government that was really, truly for people, by people, that's ever existed on the planet. But our government's not God. And I think there's a lot of folks that get that sort of mixed up. And they tie, even they just get all sideways about everything when it comes to the relationship between what makes us a great people. And I have to say, it's not our government. Our government is a reflection of who God has made us to be. Now, when Israel got this, they were blessed. When they didn't get it, they weren't. And when they didn't, they fell in disarray and disunity, out and out war at times. And then God said, when you start misbehaving, people are going to come in, they're going to overrun you, they're going to take you away. So, government didn't solve their problems. Bottom line. God's claim on us is greater than the government. And that's really kind of what I want to look at. God does protect. God supplies. God saves. God blesses us. And yes, He's established governments to approve what is right, which is one of the things we're going to look at in just a minute. But the only authority that any government has is the authority that God gives it. Not every government is of God, even if God allows the government to exist. So we're going to look at some things that are written in the New Testament and look at what they say about government. But the thing that's going to stay in our minds as we do this is that there is no doubt Father, Son, Holy Spirit are greater than government. Okay? All right. First passage you're going to look at is from 1 Peter. These two passages that we're going to look at are instructive. They say this is what, as believers, we should do, because they were talking to other believers that Peter and Paul, whenever they were writing to other believers, and they were saying this is what they should do. Honestly, before we get started, they were talking about governments that were run by kings, and we're not. But the principles still apply to us. So Peter said in his letter, submit yourselves for the Lord's sake to every authority instituted among men, whether to the king as the supreme authority or to governors who are sent by him to punish those who do wrong and to commend those who do right. For it is God's will that by doing good, you should silence the ignorant talk of foolish men. live as free men, but do not use your freedom as a cover up for evil. Live as servants of God. Show proper respect to everyone. Love the brotherhood of believers. Fear God. Honor the king. So as we look at this passage, what do you see as the role of government? What's government supposed to do the way that God sets it up? Okay, the government's supposed to? No. What is the government's role in this? Okay, we're supposed to show proper respect to citizens, right? Yes, absolutely. What is the government supposed to do? Why? What is the government's role or purpose? Okay, upholds. Go back, yeah. Okay, what does it say there? If you look at verse 14, they're to punish those who do wrong and commend those who do right. Right? Okay, so a government's job is to keep an order where right is right and anything that's not right is dealt with and not allowed. That makes sense? Is that consistent with that? What are some of the responsibilities and privileges that we have then under God that we can see here? We mentioned them a minute ago. One of the rights we have, I guess you could say, is the right to respect other people. Or you could say it's a privilege too, to respect other people. Okay? What else? Do good. It's responsibility to do good. I'll tell you a little story. I've probably told you this story before. When Luke, my son, was entering into the sixth grade, first time in middle school, okay? The first week he came home just shaking his head because he was so overwhelmed by all the rules that they said that they had in middle school. And he was in a very structured environment. He was in charter school. And he just said, I just can't keep all the rules. And I said, son, if you'll just do the right thing, you won't have to worry about the rules. And that's basically what it's saying right there. If you do the right thing, you don't have to worry about keeping the rules because you're going to do the right thing. Make sense? Simplistic, isn't it? Not simple. The responsibility is to live as a free man too. We kind of go right past that one because it's different in being free and living as a free man. Do you have to be free to live as a free man? I don't know. I don't think so. You can live as a free person even if you're not. Did Paul and Peter both not address people who were slaves who were believers? Okay, they did, didn't they? No matter what situation you find yourself in, live this way. And he didn't distinguish between, he said, serve well if you're a servant. And if you're a master, you better treat that person as a brother or a sister. True. Very consistent with their own experience. Paul wasn't trying to figure out how he could get out of jail. He was saying, I'm going to use it. I had to get a captive audience. I have a Roman guard here and a Roman guard here. And they have to listen to me talk about Jesus all the time. That'd be kind of hard for people you and I know to see it that way. What's the emphasis here as we look at this passage? Is the emphasis on being a good citizen or is the emphasis on being a good servant of God? Okay, I see several of you mouthing it, being a good servant of God. Yes, but it also establishes the preeminence of serving God is more important than serving the country. Now, he's not saying the two have to be mutually exclusive, but there's a priority or there's a preeminence of being a servant of God that supersedes being a servant or even a public servant in a government. Can we be legalistic citizens and rotten to the core? We can be legalistic believers. And there's a problem, right? Because we're not supposed to be. The issue is, if we will live as free men in Christ, then we don't have to worry about what other people see. Because the truth and the reality that lives with us, in us, and out of us takes care of anything we have to worry about. Does that make sense? Let's go to a couple of points. Number one, in that passage, we see clearly that to submit to government that acknowledges and advances what is good for the Lord's sake. And we're supposed to do that because God instituted the government. He allowed it to exist. So we're supposed to submit to it as it acknowledges and advances what is good for the Lord's sake. So why do we struggle with submitting to government? Okay, that is our inclination. Okay? We know what we don't trust the government anymore. Why don't we trust the government? Even though we still, as far if you look at the structure, if you look at the way that it was laid out, we still have the best thing that's, you know, since sliced bread. Okay? So we're torn, right? With what seems to be a failure of what's really good, but knowing that it still has the best chance of being the best one that's ever been made. It's not, we are not where we used to be. But it's still better than China. It's still better than Brazil. And I remember when I was in high school, everybody's talking about how Brazil was supposed to be the next big superpower. And now the Olympics are coming to Brazil, and all of their governmental failures are being exposed. Again, I am not saying we're good and great and everything's perfect and you know, but we still, in a lot of ways, are better off than a lot of these other places. And it would be nice if we could recapture where we came from. We'd all agree with that. But in the meantime, if we look at this, as long as the government approves what is good and deals with what is not good, we're to submit to it, right? So what do we do? How do we deal with whenever the government that God has allowed to exist no longer does that? Because those are the questions that we now struggle with. Yeah. I'm just saying, this is where we are. We've got to be believers in this environment that we're in. Not some other pie in the sky the way it used to be. Here's where we are. So how do we deal with this in a way that honors God? Because He is the one that we have to first honor. But at the same time, not act like jacklegs in dealing with it, in the old language of somebody that used to hang out with us. This is where we live. Now, you know, part of this that I think is clear, although not necessarily desirable, is that we have to understand we can't do something that's evil in order to confront evil. Okay? So, I don't think, if we look at Scripture, I don't think we can go bombing abortion clinics. Okay? That's evil. People get hurt. Stuff that's not ours gets damaged. I know we want to. We want to deal with it definitively. Anthony. Go ahead. No, I'm just saying, we want to do that. Because we are that passionate about what is right. But we can't do that because that's not godly. We can't do evil to accomplish a good end. What we have to do is we have to find a way to do good to confront evil in the best way we can and trust God to do something that we can't see or understand or do. Here's the temptation. The temptation is to let the issue overtake our focus on Jesus. We ought to be ready to do what is good to confront evil. But at the same time, we can't let the issue become bigger than our relationship with God. Does that make sense? Because I've known people that I care for dearly who let an issue such as abortion, which we would agree on, become more important to them than their relationship to God. And then in the end, ate them up. That makes sense? Even though we would agree. All right, Anthony. Whenever we realize that God is greater than government, and we submit to government whenever it's proving good, it does uphold our integrity as believers and as God's people. Nothing hurts the kingdom's cause more than when we allow ourselves to take evil means to deal with an evil issue. Because that's the first thing that the enemy is going to highlight whenever somebody who, in the name of Jesus, does something either violent or destructive. Well, again, that's the danger of legalism. Because you start taking things, one thing, and you put it over against another, and you forget that the Bible says this, and you just go with this one little thing. That's legalism can really run you into the ground. Next point. So we're supposed to live righteously, John, and do not live as if under compulsion. Now that's one that's really a struggle for us. Because if we disagree and we think that the government is no longer acting in an upright way, we do feel like we are being compelled. Right? But that we're not supposed to live that way, even if we feel that way. And there's a difference. You know, a lot of us have kids who have been teenagers or are teenagers, and we try to teach them a lot of lessons about how to deal with their feelings. This is one of those that can look right back at us. In that when we know that there's something that we know is not right, and yet the government approves it, or advocates for it, we have to listen to the same words we give our teenagers when it comes to those feelings and those emotions. Because in order to live as free men, free in terms of the way God sees us, if we live under compulsion, are we not saying that we are living under bondage? So we got to flesh that out with God, okay? How we live and our attitudes. Anything before I transition to the next? Paul writes to Titus, one of his partners in the faith. He said, "Remind the people to be subject to rulers and authorities, to be obedient, to be ready to do whatever is good, to slander no one, to be peaceable and considerate, to show true humility toward all men. At one time, we too were foolish, disobedient, deceived, and enslaved by all kinds of passions and pleasures. We lived in malice and envy, being hated and hating one another. But when the kindness and love of God our Savior appeared, He saved us, not because of the righteous things we had done, but because of His mercy. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit, whom He poured out on us generously through Christ Jesus, our Savior, so that having been justified by His grace, we might become heirs having the hope of eternal life. This is a trustworthy saying. And I want you to stress these things so that those who have trusted in God may be careful to devote themselves to doing what is good. These things are excellent and profitable for everyone." So you hear some of the same things again echoed as Paul writes to Titus. So if you look at the beginning of that passage, and he talks about the way that we're supposed to act towards one another, why is our current political climate in our nation at odds with verses 1 and 2? Bless you. Our current political climate at odds with verses 1 and 2. I don't see a whole lot of humility anywhere. I hear a whole lot of half, I can't even say half truth because it's not truth. If it's half, it's not. So a whole lot of bending of reality, we'll just say that. Certainly not trying to be peaceable or considerate or humble or doing anything about what's right. And I don't care what ilk you are, it doesn't fit either one of them. We're struggling more now with what representative government means than we have at any time in our history. Which elected leader gets to be the one to choose other than what the people say? The president? Congress? I mean, you know, the issue is who gets to do, you know, and that's kind of where we feel like things are, right? Yes. Yes. And we live in these times. Number one, you know, to tie, yes, we want a strong leader. Right now, I would just settle for an ethical leader. You know, I'm not worried about somebody being strong. I just like somebody that tells the truth and doesn't tell the truth today that's going to be different tomorrow. I just like somebody consistent who's ethical. That would be great. But we don't elect people who are consistent and ethical. So, yes, that goes to what Anthony's saying. It goes back to the electorate, unfortunately, the current and the climate of the nation. But yes, like verse 3 says, we're supposed to remember that these people are just like we used to be. Hopefully used to be. And not are. All right, so let's go to the next slide. Two points in this. Once we were morally and spiritually bankrupt like everybody else. And number two, we're supposed to demonstrate changed lives, which is a life of submission to the government that God has instituted as long as it approves what is good and deals with what is not. Now I want to take just a minute or two and show you three passages. And what we've talked about, all this stuff we processed, I'll show you the three passages in a minute. I got three questions for you, and we're going to have to, you know me. If I don't finish, I just go to next week. So that's if I'm doing 9:30 next week, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to finish this. Next screen. Okay. So here's the first question. So what's the difference in the Christian and Muslim view of God's sovereignty over government? Because it matters in our. It's where we live. These questions are being dealt with, and it does matter. Because there are communities, local communities, in our country that are actually making decisions about this right now. And we can't ignore the fact that it really does matter. Because the two views are very different. We're saying that God is greater than government. We're saying that greater than any government is our allegiance to Jesus Christ. But what that means to us and what it means for Muslims to say that Allah is greater than any government and how that gets lived out are two very different views. Well, as one extension of that, yes. Well, I'm not even necessarily proposing that. I'm just saying, do we understand the worldview between the two? Because we live in a country that established a government that was able to be not apart from, but undergirded by and foundationally supported by a faith that was bigger than the government. And the problem is, Christians see government as something God instituted, and God as being greater. Well, Muslims would say that the government enforces what God said, which is a different view of what their God, Allah, not the God of the Bible. Okay, it's a different view of and role of government. Christians are supposed to be people of faith no matter what the government does or says. Does this make sense? It's different from a Muslim view. We'll talk more about that next week. We'll start there. Is that okay? We have to find our place in where we are. And stop hoping that it's going to be like it was and do what we need to right now in the middle of where we are. All right, we're in the middle. You're not happy. You're not settled. Good. It's not that way. Yeah, yeah. Good. Very good. Very good. All right, let's pray. Father, we belong to You. You've told us that we are bought with a price, the price of Christ's death on the cross. And Lord, we want to submit ourselves to You first and foremost. And Lord, You've told us that You allowed this government, this broken government that we have, to exist because You want it to approve what is good and to deal with what is evil. Lord, I'm praying that You would show us the role that we have and how we need to be Your people in the midst of the times and the place that we live in, so that, Lord, You will be glorified. Forgive us for letting the government solve our problems. Help us turn to You. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.